The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." He answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith is a complete and total trust. Trust in God for all things, from the tiniest of our physical needs to the greatest, grandest of things like our eternal salvation. Faith is trust that God's promises are true, that they really are truly for me, that Christ's death and resurrection forgive my sins, and they are for me. Faith trusts that God really does care. He cares about all of my needs of this life and the next. Faith trusts that he has done all things for me on account of Jesus Christ. Faith knows and trusts that this is most certainly true, because God himself has promised it. God himself has said it. Yet, if you're like me, you struggle with doubts. You struggle with doubts that creep into your heart and your mind. Maybe your doubts arise when you take a look around at the world today, and you say, "This is a mess. Does God really care about anything that is going on in this world?" Maybe doubts creep into your heart and mind when you start looking internally and you start examining your own heart. Can God really forgive me? Can he forgive all of my sins? Even those big ones that still haunt my conscience, those sins that I cannot possibly confess, even to the pastor, because they are just too great. Or maybe you doubt God's fatherly divine care. Will God really take care of me? Does God really care about me or my son or my daughter or my spouse? Is he going to take care of all these things that are going on in my life? Will he heal me? Will he provide me with that daily bread? And will he deliver me from evil as we pray the Lord's Prayer? So you have doubts. Well, that doesn't make you unique. It doesn't make you special. It makes you a sinner like me, a sinner like every single person sitting here this morning. Make no mistake about it, doubt is sin. Doubt is sin. Doubting God's word and promises, it's the fruit of the old sinful flesh that still clings to us, that immature, rotting corpse that I talked about last week that we're still dragging around in this life. Doubt is sin against the first and foremost commandment, which is, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We shall fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So doubt, the sin, needs to be fought against. It needs to be put in its proper place. It needs to be defeated and drowned in the waters of holy baptism. All the while, the new creation, the new believer in us, the new baptized creation that clings to God's word and promises, cries out, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." In our gospel reading this morning, a father's love for his demon-afflicted, demon-possessed son drove him to desperation. And his faith drove him to Jesus. This man was caught. This father was caught somewhere in between trust and doubt, somewhere between faith and unbelief, trust in Jesus and skepticism. After all, this poor man's experience and pure reason told him that there was no hope for his poor son. This demon has been afflicting him since childhood. It's even tried to kill him, to destroy him. And nothing has worked. He's tried everything to free his son from the tyranny of this demon's clutches. But no one and nothing has seemed to help. Yet, faith drove this man to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't there when this man arrived. The text right before our text this morning tells us why Jesus was not there. Jesus wasn't there because he, Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration at the time. So coming down then from the Mount of Transfiguration, we have Jesus at the beginning of our gospel reading. So there were 9 of Jesus' disciples, though, present. And so the man said, well, let's ask them if they can do it. Maybe they can help. And they tried unsuccessfully. They couldn't do it. And now imagine the father at that moment. Even more failure now. More disappointment. More disappointed. Already this burning blaze of doubt. And now it's just heaping upon it. But then just at the right moment, Jesus comes. Jesus comes down. He made his way down the Mount of Transfiguration, descending back down into the sinful, messy world to love and to care for those who are suffering from the tyranny of Satan and sin and the devil. After hearing what was going on, and this is where our gospel reading begins, hearing what was going on with this man and his son, Jesus rebukes all of them. He rebukes the whole crowd and their lack of faith, their doubt. He says, oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Now, it was obvious that Jesus is different. When we read here how Jesus' compassion, his love, and his mercy, they are on full display as Jesus asks the Father, how long has this been happening to him? Still skeptical, still riddled with doubt, the man says, from childhood, it's often cast him into fire, into water, trying to destroy him. But if you can do anything, if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Aha. Jesus hears that. He knows. He can hear the skepticism and the doubt oozing out of this man, and that simply will not do. If you can, Jesus says, if, what do you mean, if? Everything is possible for the one who believes, the Lord says. Yes, everything is possible because of who is believed in. Okay? So maybe you've heard me say this before. It's something I say regularly, but I'm going to say it again this morning. Faith is only as strong as its object. Faith is only as strong as its object. So when the object of your faith is the Almighty Son of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that he willingly laid down his life and took it back up again to save you, when he is the object of your faith, well then yes, indeed, all things are possible because of who you are putting your trust in. It's not your faith that makes it possible. It's not anything that you do. It is Jesus clinging to Jesus that makes this possible. You might say endurable. So Jesus' words, if you can, what do you mean if you can? These words obviously pierce this man's heart, pierce the father's heart. He recognized that his faith was not as it should be. And so he cried out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And there it is. The truth comes out. The truth of the father's situation, the truth of our own situation, the plight of all believers in Jesus Christ. I believe, help my unbelief. We ought to have perfect faith, but we don't. The first commandment commands that we do always fear, love, and trust in God above all things, but we don't. Faith in Christ doesn't mean easy. In this life, our faith in Christ will never be perfect. If we were perfect, if we had perfect faith, all of the rest of the commandments would be fulfilled. We would do them all. We would never sin. But that's not the case, is it? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And how does Jesus respond? He had compassion and mercy upon this father and his son. From his heart, he desired to heal them, to heal the boy, and he wanted to strengthen this father's faith. So he did. And he freed the boy and sent the pathetic, sniveling demon away. At his word, the demon must flee. And then, rather than tearing apart this father's fail faith, Jesus now strengthens it. His grace, his mercy, his compassion, his love, and his forgiveness for this man, just for him, shines abundantly through. So now, how does the Lord respond to your cry? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The same grace and mercy and compassion and love and forgiveness just for you, despite your unbelief and your doubts. Even though we're often caught, as this man was, in between doubt and trust in Christ, Jesus died for you. And he comes to you with all of his grace, with all of his mercy, with all of his compassion, all of his forgiveness, right now in his word and in his sacrament. And there, Jesus rescues you. He frees you from the tyranny of Satan, sin, and doubt. Does God really care about everything that's going on in the world today? Yes. Let's not forget that Jesus ascended into heaven and he is rightfully on his throne at the right hand of God, ruling over all things for our good. Will Jesus really care for me, or will he care for my spouse or my daughter or my son who are really struggling? Yes, he is your gracious Father who gives you all that you need to support this life and your eternal life. Can he really forgive all of my sins, even those big ones? Yes. Stop thinking that you are so special and unique. Christ died for all sins, and that includes the worst of the worst sins, even yours. Faith that looks inward can only result in doubt. But a faith that looks elsewhere, externally, to an object, that which is objectively true, a faith that looks elsewhere to that object of Christ, the object of your faith, and what he has done on the cross and the empty tomb for you, a faith that looks to what he continues to do for us in the waters of holy baptism, cleansing us, forgiving us, making us his dear children, giving to us eternal life, for what he does and continues to do for us every time we receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper, forgiving us, assuring us, and strengthening us that he is ours and we are his, giving us a foretaste of the feast to come. Well, this faith is strong and courageous. This is most certainly true. Christ and his word and his sacraments that he has given, that he himself instituted for you, these things are objectively true. They show us that God really does have mercy, compassion, love, and forgiveness. And those things are objectively true. They are most certainly for you. Believe it. Trust in the Lord. For you have a mighty Savior. And that means a faith that clings to such a mighty Savior as Christ and clings to His Word and His sacraments is strong and courageous, just as the first opening verse of our intro, it calls for us to be. Be strong. Have a courageous heart. Only in Christ are we able to do that. Dear believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus died and rose again to open to you the very gates of heaven. In His Word and sacrament, He continues to strengthen you, and give you all of the treasures of heaven, all of His grace, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. All of it are yours by grace through faith. Yeah, even a small, frail, doubting faith. It's all yours. Be at peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.